everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. Have you ever been ghosted, or are you attracted to partners who never return your feelings? Well, today we're going to talk about why we love unavailable people, how to get out, move on, and find the love you deserve. My guest today is Dr. Marnie Feuerman. She is a licensed psychotherapist, author, speaker, and workshop presenter. She also is the author of a new book called Ghosted and Breadcrumbed: Stop Falling for Unavailable Men and Get Smart About Healthy Relationships. A great book that is aimed to help you break free from painful, repetitive patterns in dating and relationships with emotionally unavailable partners. Now, for more information about Dr. Marnie or her book, go to thetalkingsolution.com or drmarnieonline.com. So welcome to the program, Dr. Marnie. So great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, let's start with some terms, Dr. Marnie, because I know that many listeners may not know the terms, what they mean, ghosted and breadcrumbed. So share with us what those terms mean, along with other dating terms, new dating terms like cushioned and stashed.
Yes.
There's so many, aren't there?
Yeah, there's lots of them. And although they're funny and quirky terms, we know that they're painful experiences for people in dating. Ghosting is probably the most popular one that I see is being used in a lot of different circumstances. Ghosting is just disappearing without any warning, no explanation. It can leave somebody just with complete ambiguity. They don't know what's going on or what happened. And we don't do so well with that kind of uncertainty. We like to have a little bit of closure or some information or some feedback. And so there's other terms as well, like you said, breadcrumbed or cushioned. Breadcrumbed is you're getting little bits, you're getting little breadcrumbs just to keep you in the game or string you along, but the person maybe has no real intention of committing or creating a strong relationship, but they don't want to let you go either. And cushioning is you're keeping other people around to kind of cushion things just in case it doesn't work out with you. And so there's lots of very similar terms, but like I said, they're not good experiences in dating.
And absolutely. And because when someone you're dating suddenly stops communicating, they disappear without warning, or they keep you on the side and don't introduce you to friends and family members, that can definitely feel hurtful and disrespectful. Explain to us then how that feels and what you've seen from people experiencing these kinds of experiences.
People feel, I think, devalued. They feel that there's a lack of empathy in the dating process. I think with online dating and apps, it has made that problem worse. I think people can hide much more easily. They can hide out behind a computer or just, you know, they can disappear and you just really aren't going to hear from them again. So I think it really, people tend to turn inward around it and think, what's wrong with me? Or will I ever find love? They can start to feel very hopeless. And it's understandable because if somebody is not even giving you the courtesy of even a brief explanation. It's not that people are always looking for a, you know, a full-blown dialogue on it, but it's nice to just hear, hey, I didn't quite feel the chemistry, but it was really nice to meet you. One sentence, two sentences. So I think people are very confused by the fact that people aren't doing this for each other anymore when it comes to romance.
Right. And as you said, Dr. Marnie, I mean, even as you were talking about it, it's so confusing. And we tend to turn inward and blame ourselves. So what motivated you, given all of these new dating terms and this experience, to write the book Ghosted and Breadcrumbed?
Sure. I mean, certainly working in clinical practice and seeing these types of situations a lot. And like you, I also work with couples. And so I can see the different dynamics that play out. And I know that sometimes people feel like they might not have made the best choice in a partner. And a lot of times these things, the concerns they're having existed even prior to the commitment. And I know for myself, personally, I struggled quite a bit with dating, and I wasn't making the best choices. And I had close calls with committing to people that just really would not have been right for me. And so I had to figure out what was going on with myself, what might have been in my own personal or family history that might be contributing to choices I was making, or what I was putting up with, why I was feeling the way I was feeling, and why I was maybe even permitting or allowing myself to not be treated the way I should.
Right.
Because even if someone's doing these things to you, and I know sometimes you really can't control it, there's a lot of other times where you can assert yourself and you can say, this is not acceptable, or this has nothing to do with me. Why am I going to a place of turning it on myself or thinking badly of myself when someone else is treating me badly? It could be all about them and it's not personal. So I really needed to figure that out as well.
That is so good. And I know that listeners can relate to this, Dr. Marnie, myself included. Many of us are attracted to unavailable people, emotionally unavailable people, and we stay in relationships where we're not being treated well. So let's talk about first why people might get stuck in that kind of relationship, or why might I be attracted to someone who is emotionally unavailable, and what that even means, Dr. Marnie.
Right. Right. A lot of good questions. I think there's definitely themes to this. I tend to see it more with women, which is why I wrote the book for women. And I know certainly women tend to present more to counseling to get help with these things, whether it's within themselves or their relationship. So I think women tend to think very relationally. We tend to be more in touch with our emotions and have more of an emotional language. We're able to verbalize that better. We tend to be very nurturing and so on. So I think when they maybe are drawn to somebody and they see that the person struggles with that, I think their inclination is to help, or to kind of see maybe the little child or the little boy inside. They want to bring them out. They see potential. And I think men can be socialized quite differently to their detriment. I think they're socialized to be more task-oriented, achievement-oriented, to be strong, to keep a lid on a lot of the emotional side of themselves. And so when men and women get together, that can be a bit of a challenge. And the more the women try to bring out the emotional side in their man, sometimes it shuts the man down even more, or it makes them feel like they're doing something wrong, or the woman will never be happy, never be satisfied. And so they can get very stuck in a dynamic around that. So I think that can happen on some level to a lot of people. But I also think another piece of it, when we talk about being emotionally unavailable, if we're looking at the flip side, which is being emotionally available, it's somebody who is accessible. Their inner world, they're able to talk about it, that their partner can reach their vulnerable side, that they're present, that they show up, that when a problem or an issue is brought up, they're okay, like having a deep discussion about it. And if it gets a little heated, they can tolerate that.
So I think let's talk about that for a second, Dr. Marnie, a little bit more, giving listeners a specific example, because I see many clients who are women who don't know how to identify what that means. So let's say I bring something to my partner as a woman. How would I be able to understand or see that this partner is not really there for me? Explain how I could tell. What are some of the signals?
The person is often just very avoidant or shut down, evasive, sometimes secretive. They feel as if I've heard a client describe it as, it's like they're getting a hamburger, but all they're getting is the bread and not the meat. The meat inside. That's which I thought was a great analogy. So you might be getting superficial, surface level information or even stories. They might come home and say, this is what happened at work today. And I had a meeting and then this happened and that happened. But they're not telling you the impact of those things on their emotion, like how they felt about it. So what comes up as they are describing these things? Are they just giving you the facts of their day? Or are they also talking to you about the impact it had on them?
I love that, Dr. Marnie. I love that because I had a client the other day who was saying just that to me, that she was talking to her male partner and he would be telling her details about his day, but he wasn't getting at the core impact of those experiences on his life. And she felt then that this conversation was so superficial that he couldn't get at the emotional aspect of this. So that's so important for listeners, I think, to hear that when somebody is emotionally available, they're then talking about how they felt as a result of those details, as a result of talking to a boss, as a result of working in a group project and talking about how the project affected them. Very, very important. I love that.
Yeah. So that's generally what's described. Like I can see that you hear that as well. And I also don't want men to think that it's this monumental task, because I think they worry, well, it just won't be enough. It won't be enough for her, or I'll still disappoint her. And I think men are then surprised where the spouse or the partner or even a girlfriend is really appreciative of the effort. And even if they're getting a little bit, they actually are really happy and they do feel closer to you, and that this is doable. It's not such a huge task that they can't start to get there.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. So that even though I might not be emotionally available as a male or as a female in a relationship, I can get there and it's not a monumental task. Now let's flip it for just a second, Dr. Marnie. One of the things I loved in your book is that you talk about others who are engaging in breadcrumbing or ghosting others and why, or the reasons why they may be doing that. And in fact, in chapter 2, you break it down into very different types of men who might be doing this. For example, the sociopath, the narcissist, the player, the tortured soul, the addict, and the opportunist. And I think that these are really important distinctions. I don't think we have to talk about all of these kinds, Dr. Marnie, but explain one kind of emotionally unavailable male or someone who might be ghosting or breadcrumbing us.
Sure. I mean, I would say there could be a sense of entitlement. There's a lack of sensitivity, again, a lack of empathy. They're very self-centered overall. I think even if there's an underlying theme in a lot of how I've broken down those different types, is that these people are very selfish and self-absorbed. So they're not they're unable to take the perspective of the other person. They really struggle with that. So they're not seeing how their behavior or their lack of responsiveness or even giving just a piece of information to somebody is impacting them. And they may not really care. So they're really just thinking about themselves. And so these obviously don't make really good partners anyway. I think the trouble can really start when someone else feels like I can change this in them, or I'll get them to see that, you know, they should love me back. So that's where the problems start, rather than them say to themselves, I see the way this person's acting and behaving, and this isn't right for me. I want the kind of person who is responsive, who will engage with me, who thinks through their actions and behaviors and the impact it's going to have on me.
Right. And once you then identify that you're having a relationship with someone who is emotionally unavailable, how then do we exit, or how do we leave the partner and move on, or how do we even stay in the relationship and work it out, I guess?
Yeah, this is a really tricky part because we know love is such a powerful emotion. And if you have love or you believe that you're in love with the person, there's chemistry, there's a strong attraction. This is probably one of the harder things that any of us will do in our lives, which is to leave the relationship, even though we have those sorts of feelings. And so I like people to really know that their rational brain is often not fully online when we're feeling these feelings, you know, these loving kinds of feelings and the chemistry with somebody. But you're going to want to weigh that just as much. So not just my feelings towards them, but also that I'm in pain here too. And there's some very negative feelings, and that I have to think about if this person is right for me because our values align, our goals align. I do feel like I can count on them. They have my back. If they've fallen through on a lot of those things, you really are going to want to rethink the relationship. And if you do have to get out, know that you're going through a grieving process, and it's going to be hard, but that's also normal. It's normal to feel distress and loneliness and difficulty tolerating those heavy emotions when we've had a relationship end. So I think just maybe realizing that you can get through it and believing that you're going to feel much better on the other side if you've made this very important decision for yourself. And it is one of the most important decisions you can make, which is who you're going to allow in your life and who you might even commit to.
And I think, as you said, Dr. Marnie, it's so difficult, and we can understand why it's difficult, because there's going to be ambivalence. As you said, I really care about this person. We've done so much in the future. One of the things that I tell clients, and I wanted to get your feedback on this, Dr. Marnie, is I ask them if they can go to that partner and identify and communicate their emotional needs and see what the response is. Because if someone is emotionally unavailable, as you said, they're not going to be able to deal with our emotions. So we may say, you know, I really care about you, I love you, but I need you to be there for me when I'm going through this trauma or going through this painful experience, or I need you to connect with me in a very different way. And if someone says, I can't, I won't, right?
Right. You have your answer.
You have your answer, yeah. Right?
Yeah. And I'm all for someone saying, I don't know how to do this, and I'm willing to make changes, or I'm willing to get help so that I can meet you where you are. So I don't think people, you know, just magically need to know how to do this, but is there a willingness to get the help that you need so that you can be responsive to your partner's emotional needs and what they're asking. Right. But I don't want people to ignore if someone basically says no, or I can't do that, or I won't, or I can't change. Kind of like, too bad, you know, I can't change and that's it. And so you've got to ask yourself, can I accept that? Or do I not accept it? And what do I need to do about it? And does it mean I need to move on from this relationship?
Right. And I think that's an important distinction that you just made, that you want somebody to be willing to discuss and work on it. They may not have no idea how to change or where to go to get help to change, but there's a willingness rather than a dismissal of right. your feelings.
Right.
And so then let's say, Dr. Marnie, that somebody does get out of an unhealthy or a relationship with someone who is emotionally unavailable. How can I prevent this in the future? Or what are some signs that I can look for if someone is unavailable? Or even, you know, what do I do with myself as we go forward?
Sure. I think it's good to develop that self-awareness. That's going to be a very important piece. And some people can do that on their own. They can, you know, there's lots of good resources out there, whether it's books or, you know, sometimes things that are online or even classes and workshops you can take. But for some, they may actually need a course in therapy so that they can figure out if this is a pattern, maybe something that was even familiar with them from their early childhood years, their family history. Maybe it was a similar dynamic that's playing out with one of their parents. And sometimes it's hard for us to have that perspective. And so therapy is like the perfect thing to help us get that so that we can start to see, oh, this is why I am drawn to this type of person. And then, you know, and then also recognize how to tune into yourself emotionally, your own emotional signals that tell you that, right, this person that I'm meeting or dating or, you know, starting out with is kind of setting off all those distress signals in me.
Right, right.
Like, okay, once again, maybe I am in this situation, or this is a person who isn't going to love me in the way that I feel I deserve, or respond to me, or, like you said, meet my emotional needs. I'm starting to see that right away.
And then so how in the future, when I am ghosted, when I am breadcrumbed, because it probably is going to happen in the future, how do I respond in a healthy way, or how do I not get so hurt or dejected?
Don't stay in the hurt. You know, I mean, I think it's normal to get to be hurt or feel rejected, but understand that you don't have enough information to immediately blame yourself. That if you go right to a place of it's me, I'm worthless, I'm not fill in the blank enough, pretty enough, skinny enough, whatever it is, you want to stop yourself from going into that shame spiral, so to speak. So I would say you definitely don't want to do that, and just realize you don't have enough information to know. And even if it, let's say it is you, realizing that there's somebody else out there who is right for you. That person isn't right for you. That if
very
you're going to do
good
that,
advice. Very good advice. Yeah. And so now we only have 2 minutes left. Yeah. Dr. Marnie, I know time flies when it's such an important, interesting topic, but if there's one message that you want people to take away from reading your book, what might that be?
That I think the good news is that you don't have to continue to have, let's say, a bad track record with dating and romantic experiences. I think it's very possible to have a very healthy, committed relationship, even if you've never had it before, that you can develop the self-awareness and the skills to make sure that you're finding the right person and the right person for you. And that there's a lot of good science out there to help you with that process that people can take advantage of, and that you deserve it. You absolutely deserve to find love in your life.
I love it. You do deserve to find love, and the love that is right for you, that is supportive and caring and nurturing. I love that basic message. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Marnie. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, you're welcome. I love this topic.
Yes, I can tell. I can tell. I do too. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Marnie Feuermann or her book, Ghosted and Breadcrumbed, go to thetalkingsolution.com or drmarnieonline.com. Also, you can connect with her on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dr. Marnie Feuermann. Sorry, and that is spelled Feuermann. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry. TheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your happy, healthy relationships.